I call to order the Simpsonville City Council business meeting of January 14th, 2025. Clerk Clark, would you call the roll, please?
Councilmember O'Rear.
Here.
Councilmember Rube.
Here.
Councilmember Williams.
Here.
Councilmember Roche.
Here.
Pinkerton.
Here.
Councilmember Hutchings.
Here.
Mayor Shoemaker.
Here. If you would, please rise as you are able and join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Each member of council has received a copy of the minutes from our December 10th, 2024 meeting. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, the minutes will stand approved as written. Item 5 is the audit presentation by David Phillips with Green Finney Cauley. Mr. Phillips, you're up.
All right. Thank you for allowing me to be here. As most of you know, we kind of wrapped all this up back in December, but we didn't want to take away from all the Christmas festivities. So it kind of kicked the can and we waited till January to kind of go through this. Hopefully you have a copy of the big book. We won't try to cover that. That would about kill us. But we will try to hit the highlights in a PowerPoint. So as we go through that, again, if you have questions, please feel free to interject. Or if you would rather wait to the end, that will be fine as well, whatever works for you. All right. So we like to always remind everybody, and it's not just the city, but it's every organization, the importance of internal controls, that we want there to be checks and balances so that one person can't do it all. And so one of the things that we do as your auditors is we try to kick the can. We try to make sure on those significant internal control processes, if we see that there's issues, it's not only important that I talk to Christine and Diana about it, it's important that you know about it as a council. Because you can't fix it if you don't know it's broken. Again, these are your financial statements. So when we come to this next slide, our responsibility is to issue an opinion. We look at things from a materiality perspective. So we're not going to be looking at a quarter or a dollar. And, you know, it's usually about 1% to 2% of total assets or total revenues. That's how the materiality is calculated. And you were issued on the very last bullet point there. An unmodified opinion, that's a strange term, but that's a clean opinion. If we modified our report, we would say everything looks good but this. So when we say it's unmodified, we're not aware of anything being materially misstated. All right, well, I know the slide that most people care the most about is the fund balance, but I think that chart on the right with the history really gives you a real good perspective over time. Your total fund balance increased about $4 million. Remember, this year you did not make a choice to transfer some money to the capital projects fund like you've done over the last couple years, because I think there's some other needs for some of those funds. But also, you have some restricted fund balance, which is primarily unspent bond proceeds and some non-spendable. And what non-spendable means is that you've already spent it. It's like a prepaid, but you haven't actually incurred all the costs that's related to it. Like you spend it, but we don't get to recognize it. Like in the instance that you see there, it's for equipment and new furniture for City Hall. You paid for it, but you haven't received the furniture yet. And so the way the accounting rules are, we don't get to recognize the expenditure until you've received the goods. Because in essence, you know, you really don't owe anybody or really would have to get a refund of that money if you never received the equipment. All right. The general fund also had unassigned. So you remember we talked about there was restricted, there was non-spendable. You're left with this unassigned category, which means there's no constraints on those funds of about $21.8 million. It was 18.9 in the prior year. And this is about 99% of your 2024 actual expenditures, and that would be about 89% of your 2025 budgeted expenditures. Now, the GFOA, which is the Government Finance Officers Association, they're kind of like the Bible of governments. They recommend a minimum of 2 months. And your own policy here at the city is to keep a minimum of 25%. So you can see in all those regards, you really have a good fund balance there. So why do you want to have a good fund balance? Well, remember, some of your revenues come in at certain times of the year and not the rest of the year, like your property taxes, business licenses. So your fund balance ebbs and flows as the year goes on. And there's low points and there's high points. So this helps you weather those peaks and those valleys. It helps you if you have emergencies. So what if you start having cost overrun on projects? If you don't have any money in the bank, you're going to have to go borrow, or there's going to have to be some other options there. By having fund balance, you could choose, you know what, we're going to fund some of that ourselves. So you have options. It helps you give you flexibility for discretionary spending needs. If you issue debt and they see that you have a good track record of maintaining a solid fund balance, they're going to give you better interest rates than the other entity down the road that maybe is up and down and all around. It helps you plan for future capital expenditures. You could choose to not always borrow. You could choose to fund some yourself. And it's just important in uncertain economic times. You know, almost all of us have heard that you should keep a contingency fund personally. And so that's kind of what this is for the city as well. You want to keep that rainy day fund to help you just in case of an emergency. All right, well, let's look at your revenues. That chart on the right, I think, gives you a little good perspective over the last few years. You had total revenues of $26.3 million. And then we kind of list the bulk of those components there with, of course, taxes being the biggest, and then permits and licenses being second. You had a $2.8 million increase over the prior year. Most of that was tax revenue, with the bulk of the rest being your MASC revenues there. As it relates to budget, you came in about $3.5 million, or 15% over budget. Tax revenues came in strong. The cess values have continued to grow. And then some of those other revenue sources as well. But really, one item that may not continue is we've all seen a lot of interest income. People, because rates have been higher, most people have been able to earn 4 to 5%. If you looked at that a couple years ago, you'd been under 1%. So, you know, we're seeing people that, and again, that probably won't last much longer, but it's been kind of a nice windfall over the last couple years. All right, well, let's look at your expenditures. They were $21.9 million. You see the various components, but, you know, normally for a county or a city, public safety is the largest piece, and that usually runs right around 55%, depending on the local government. So you're kind of right there as well. You had an increase in your expenditures of 1.5, pretty much most of that being in public safety. But if you look to the second to the last bullet point, remember, you're a people business, and so if your cost, your normal operating costs are going up, generally it's salaries and benefits. And if you remember, you ended up giving a $2,500 salary increase, and then you had some health insurance and safety bonus amounts that you added in fiscal year 24. And so that is kind of what drove that increase there. As it relates to budget, you came in under budget. Remember, you budget assuming every position is filled for the whole year. Unfortunately, that just doesn't happen. And so that's what the bulk of those savings are, because, you know, you have people coming and going, and it takes some time to fill those empty slots there. All right. Well, let's look at some of your other funds. Your accommodations and hospitality tax fund had approximately $22 million in fund balance at year end. Part of that was your tourism-related monies, $7 million that's restricted. That's your normal hospitality accommodation. But remember, also, you issued some debt, and so you had $13.8 million still of unspent bond proceeds for the projects that are still taking place. Also, you had revenues of about $5.9 million in this fund, expenditures of $3.7 million, so you added to that fund balance about $2.2 million. In the Simpsonville Municipal Facility Corporation Fund, that's a long name, you only have about $3,000 left. And remember, you use those funds for the municipal complex. And so that's why you spent down about $10.7 million on these projects. Let's go over to the American Rescue Plan Fund. Remember, those are the ARPA grant monies that you got from the federal level. It's the COVID monies. You really have spent all those monies on the projects this year. So last year, we had a good bit of cash there. But that was all spent down on those projects this year. Your capital projects fund, you have about $5 million. Now, that money is assigned. That's the money you began to move over here with transfers at the end of each year to set aside monies for future projects. You didn't make that transfer this year, but you still have about $5 million. And, of course, that's earning interest as well. All right. Your sewer fund had approximately $23.3 million in net position, and it increased about $2.6 million over the prior year. We kind of list for you the revenues, some grant revenues. Remember, you have some skip monies and so forth, some donated infrastructure, but your expenses were kind of normal for salaries and benefits and so forth. Your public works fund had approximately $2.2 million in net position, had a slight decrease in net position over the prior year. All right. Well, you know, you participate in the pension plans on the state level. The GASB, which is the Governmental Accounting Standards Board, a number of years ago felt that if you participated in a cost-sharing state plan, you should record your proportionate piece of that asset or liability on your books. And so that liability is about $18.1 million. It's the same as last year. But how they calculate that, remember, it's $22 billion on the state level. It's over that amount. They take your pension contributions to the retirement system and divide it by all contributions to the retirement system. And with that small percentage, they multiply it by the pension liability. And then they say that's your estimate of the liability. Now, the takeaway there is not that they're going to ask you to write them a check for $18.1 million, but the second to last bullet point, they've been ramping up the rate increases because they're so underfunded, they're trying to make that plan more whole. And so we've had 5 1-year rate increases over the last 6 years. There was a pause during COVID. And so we're up to 18.56 and 21.24 of every payroll dollar. You're cutting a check down to the PIBA. Now, what's interesting about that, too, is remember, your employees are also contributing 9 to 9.75 as well. So you think about that. That's 27 to 30% on every dollar is going to that pension plan on the state level to try to shore it up. If you ever get bored, there's a lot of pension note disclosures. In the notes, tells you all about the plan, how much your people have to contribute, how underfunded the plan is on the state level, what it's invested in. It has a lot of note disclosures if you ever want to read up on that. All right. Wanted to just briefly look at some other key items, your capital assets. You know, you've had a lot of projects going on and you're in one of the projects. So you had an increase of $27.1 million this year. You had additions of $30.8 million. But remember, once we capitalize something, we begin to depreciate it over its estimated useful life. So every one of your assets, like if it was a fire engine and it was $1.5 million, let's say hypothetically, to buy it, and we said it had a 15-year life, we're going to depreciate it $100,000 per year until it becomes fully depreciated. Because in theory, after those 15 years are up, it has no more value and you're going to need to get another truck. And that's the logic going behind the depreciation. So again, we had $27.6 million related to the municipal complex, the park project, the Simpsonville Art Center Gym, CCNB additional parking, the sewer rehab. Those are those ongoing projects, some road infrastructure and some equipment and vehicles. But then that depreciation of $3.7 million going the other way. And that nets us back to that 27.1 that you see up there on the top. All right, your long-term obligations. Remember, you issued most of, almost all that debt in prior years. So what you're doing now is you're just paying down on it. So you made your kind of regularly scheduled principal payments this year, and that resulted in a decrease in those obligations of about $1.9 million. You do have a legal debt limit of about $11.7 million, and you only have outstanding about $200,000 against that. And what that legal debt limit is that you as a council could approve debt without going to your constituents, not having to go to a voter referendum, up to that limit. And if you wanted to do more than that, you would have to go to a voter referendum. The debt service payments for fiscal year 25, the year we're in right now, is about $2.9 million. And so what you got to realize, it's just like your home when you get a loan on it, you have to make your mortgage payment. Well, your mortgage payment for fiscal year 25 is $2.9 million. All right. Not a lot of significant auditing changes this past year. There are some new GASBs coming for next year and fiscal year 26 as well, and we'll be working with Christine on those. But a lot of them don't affect the general fund at all or your governmental funds. They affect those government-wide statements where we put those pension liabilities and everything. All right. Remember, you don't always have a single audit because, remember, you don't always expend more than $750,000 in federal monies. But guess what? You had a lot of ARPA money spent, and you also had some SCIP money spent. So we had to do a single audit this year, and we looked at those two programs, and we have to look at them, all these compliance. Did you make sure you spent the money for their eligible purposes? Was it an allowable cost? Did you sign and date things right? And we did not have any findings or any issues noted there. So we have also a management letter that was probably sent out to you. And in there, if there were issues, like let's just say management was hard to deal with, or we felt like something should be recorded, but your management didn't want to record it, we would note that in that letter. There were no issues there. All right, last slide. Again, unmodified. That's actually a good thing. Remember, that's clean. You really have a strong financial condition at year end, and the staff here are just really, really good to work with. I know I go quick, but I think most people like me going quick because you can get out of here quicker. Any questions?
Council? Councilmember Roop.
We appreciate you going fast, too. appreciate all the work that you've done. I was in the – my mic keeps going out, Mayor. I was in the city hall quite a bit and saw your people. Y'all were there quite a bit.
Oh, so okay.
Appreciate your hard work. Is there anything from you as a professional that would recommend this city or council do differently, knowing what we have in the new buildings and street work coming and expenses and things? Is there anything in your, just you personally, your advice background, that you would suggest that we do something different, something that you would think of that we haven't thought of, that you could give us advice on?
Not off probably the top of my head. You know, y'all really have, I think, really good controls for your size and complexity. There's a lot of entities we go to. There's not always as good of checks and balances. But there, you know, the thing I was always caution you is wherever money is being received, that's where the risks are. And so if you have rec fees or, you know, wherever that could be, like in our school districts, it's pupil activity monies, booster monies. And those are fraught with probably once every 3 to 5 years something's going to hit the paper, and no matter what you do. But I don't really see anything that globally or that materially to you. But, you know, again, it's just all to be always to be vigilant, to be thinking about any time we start a new activity is to be thinking, okay, how's the cash coming in and do we have a process in place so that it somehow doesn't get misapplied or taken? Yeah. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Pinkerton.
And David, thank you for the presentation. And excuse my ignorance in the question if it comes to that. I want to go back to the general fund revenues, the 19.7 in taxes. I'm sure that's broken up into various sources, right? Mm-hmm. What percentage of that is from homeowners tax?
Ooh. Do you know, Diana?
I don't. So, you know,
I know 14.1 million of it is actually property taxes. So of that 19.7, 14.1 is property. Where, then you have like other types of taxes.
14.1?
So, yes.
That would include industrial property,
correct,
commercial property, and residential property.
Okay, but it also like apartments.
And yes.
Everything.
Houses it and broken.
Right.
Down.
Right.
The county does provide some reports that I think Christine and them, if you want to follow up on that, could probably get you that information.
I'm just interested to see what homeowners are paying into this
right
system. Thank you. One other thing.
Okay.
Could you go back over legal debt limit
okay
one more time? Explain that.
Yeah, our state law wanted to provide a protection. You know, so the legislature, you know, issued, you know, a rule that pretty much they try to limit what a local government could just kind of do on their own. They, once it got to a certain level that you wanted to borrow, and that's above this legal debt limit, they wanted you to have to go to your constituents for a voter referendum. So what they did is they said it should be 8% of your assessed property tax value. So it is kind of coming back to some of those taxes that you were just talking about. So we get the assessed value, we multiply it by 8, and whatever that number is, that's the million of dollars you could issue general obligation bonds without having to go get voters to approve it.
Can you say that one more time? Just
yeah, so it's taking the assessed values of all the property in your within the city limits, and it's multiplying that by 8%.
Okay.
And that is then the legal debt limit of how much debt you could issue as you as a council just making the decision, you know what, we're just going to issue some bonds this year without having to go to constituents for a vote.
But over that amount, for a bond issue, we'd have to go to constituents.
If you try to go more for a general obligation bond, you would have to go to get a voter referendum.
That's,
correct me if I'm wrong on any of this. Diane knows it better than me.
That's exactly what I was looking
and
for.
And that is correct. But there are other sources of revenue, like
correct
hospitality and accommodations tax, where you don't have those restrictions,
correct,
and you can issue revenue bonds. And the bonding agency will look to make sure you're generating enough revenue to cover the debt. So it sort of restricts itself in the market. They're not going to let
and
you
and those are pledged revenues that, you know, hey, I issue this hospitality, I'm going to use the hospitality tax revenues to pay on that bond.
Tax, there's no limit?
On the debt? I sort of imposed that limit because I don't want to max out our borrowing capacity.
Right.
So.
And if you tried to go to the market to issue, let's say, too much of hospitality tax bond, they look to see how much revenue you're bringing in. And if there's not enough to cover it, they won't. Nobody would buy those bonds,
okay,
you know, and your financial advisor wouldn't let you get to that point.
Well, that's important information. I think
yeah
we're going to need to know that soon. So thank you for that.
Okay. Sounds good.
Council? Councilman Rowear.
A couple of follow-ups, a couple
okay
of original questions. First one, really, I'm kind of curious about the pension budget liability. Is that our single largest liability, and is that a very common thing? It seems you hear the stories from other states that mm-hmm they have a just crushing liability. And
yeah, like Illinois is terrible. But like North Carolina, a few years ago, they actually had an asset. They had overfunded their pension plan. So it ebbs and flows based on market return. Ours is about 60-some percent funded. And if we can get it funded up to about 80%, they then could change, maybe not charge everybody as much, that rate that you see on the bottom there, the second to the bottom bullet point.
Yeah. And some of us follow up a little bit or just for my understanding. The tax revenue increase, which is always nice, I guess, depending on how it's done, was it, and maybe Diana can answer this, your combination of the two, is it because of a higher valuation of the properties?
Yes.
In other words, it's a higher tax.
Well, and you have new property coming online. Every time someone gets built, you get the windfall. I mean, you get because you're having to provide services to them.
So just here's a real general question before I ask a few more. Would you advise for the city to find any, because it's like Council Member Root was alluding to, would you find any revenue streams you could? Is there ever too much?
Y'all are pretty conservative on, never almost changing your millage rate. And so y'all been really good about that. So you're seeing revenue growth and you're not raising your millage, whereas a lot of places, they have to raise their millage to get it.
And of course, with the tax increase because of growth, both in number of dwellings and...
But you're not taxing... the same person more by adding millage. It may be a new business that just moved in.
And here's where I'm going with this. There are other streams of revenue that mm-hmm. I've explored, and I'm trying to convince others that could add to what the city takes in as it comes to an impact
Correct.
Fee.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of people that, do impact assessment fees. There's all types of other revenue sources.
So my contention when I initially introduced it was if you take in an impact fee, and granted, I know it's restricted to certain mm-hmm. things. It's becoming more and more popular across the state, it looks like,
right.
even in this county. Just for argument's sake, if a good example is if you buy a fire truck, $1.5 million, that is something that is covered by an impact fee. If a general fund money of $1.5 million had been allotted to pay for that, that would then free up that $1.5 million general fund money unrestricted, correct?
It would, in the sense that you wouldn't have to use your own money. I mean,
right. So in other words, we could take that $1.5 million that's being paid for now by an impact fee instead of general funds and move that $1.5 million into maybe an infrastructure project with all these new houses?
Let me clarify that. No, because the impact fee applies to only the percentage of the impact of the new development. So even if the impact fees generate X amount of money, you can't spend it on a fire truck, for instance, because the fire truck is serving a much larger area. You would only be able to pay a portion of what that impact would be from that new subdivision or whatever.
I'd like to get clarification on that because my understanding impact fees can pay for capital expenses.
They can, but not like...
So who determines if, let's say we have a neighborhood of 200 homes, mm-hmm. who determines whether that 200 homes was the tripwire to make us buy a new fire truck?
It would never be. 200 homes would never be the sole user of one fire truck.
So in other words, and we've had this discussion before, and I think there's some middle ground in here. I think you're right on some things, and I think I am, because they're not that restricted.
They're very restrictive.
Yeah, because
state law is restricting.
Councilmember, point of order. This is not germane to the report that's being made here, and this question has been asked and answered of council, so it's not germane to what is going on here this evening, and I think we should move on.
All right. Well, my question was solely, would you advise the city to explore any new streams of revenue?
I mean, I think that's something y'all have to work through. I see people take totally different positions depending on the community. Like some people like Fort Mill School District, they're big on impact fees. I know a lot of places, they think the cost of it, there's a lot of ramifications the other direction. So, I really don't really know. I think each person has to evaluate it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Council? No further questions for Mr. Phillips? All right, I have one comment. Director Farino, would you please stand? I want to congratulate you and your staff for outstanding performance year after year after year. To have no findings, unmodified, I don't think is unusual at all for you and your staff. I think to have not even the slightest thing found by, I've been an auditor, and I wouldn't say that auditors, just necessarily feel like they always have to find something, but I also know that auditors don't overlook something that they find. And so for them to not have found anything, I think is just, it's hitting a no-hitter. And that's a very, very special thing. And I just wanted to publicly thank you and your staff. I've already sent you an email to share with your staff, but I think it's a remarkable thing. And 5 years of being mayor, it's again and again and again. And I know where this city was 10, 15 years ago. And just thank you. Very much appreciated. Anything further from council? No one signed up for citizen comments this evening. If there are no further items from council, then, and no objections, we will stand adjourned.
Thank you.